Welcome to episode 3 of the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. In this episode, we're talking with Shaman Darcy Blue, aka Shamana Flora. In this conversation, Darcy shares her experience of the powerful transformations that can happen when you start speaking your truth. We talk about how you can connect with your intuition through listening to your body and connecting with the parts of you that aren't man-made. Darcy shares methods to cultivate deep connections with plants and her take on how and why to offer gratitude and sacred reciprocity. Darcy also gives us a simple but powerful mandala magic technique for releasing the old and co-creating the new aligned with nature.
We're your hosts, sisters Natalie
and Lizzie Ross.
Dream Freedom Beauty is a podcast for free spirits who yearn to connect deeply with their intuition and manifest their dream lives in harmony with the earth.
You can find the podcast show notes at dreamfreedombeauty.com. Well, hello, beautiful listeners. This is Natalie and Lizzie Ross with Dream Freedom Beauty, and we have here today a wonderful guest, Darcy Blue. Welcome to the show, Darcy.
Thank you. So happy to be here today.
Thank you very much for joining us. So my first question for you today is, what is the mindset that you're in that allows you to be completely dedicated to living in beautiful relationship with the earth? Because you seem to exude that vibe.
So I would say one of the most important pieces of my mindset is really about being present. And I think this is a truth that you'll find in many different cultures and traditions, but really trying to be present with myself and what is true for me in the moment, whether it's emotional or, physical, like really be just being like totally with where I'm at. And then really taking that form of presence and awareness and attention to whatever I'm doing in my life, whether it's a project for work or gardening or, doing a practice for myself or going out in nature and being with nature in a place that is really present and mindful. And I think a lot of people go out into nature sometimes and they aren't as present as they could be. They're in their mind running their thoughts, or they're talking to whoever they're with, or, thinking about the next thing that's coming. But one of the practices I really do try to cultivate in my relationship with nature and deepening that connection is to be really aware and mindful of what's happening in nature in that moment. And what am I experiencing? What am I feeling? And how do I experience this connection with a particular tree or a particular plant? Which really requires you to like be super mindful and present and not being distracted by your thoughts or your, companions or whatever that might be in the moment. But it is really a practice, I think, that I practice at, as a human, it's very easy to get caught up into our story or into our stuff. And
definitely.
I see this vision of all of us humans running around at warp speed, and you've got to take it down to just like nature's pace, or take the volume level and the static down low enough so that you mm-hmm. can hear mm-hmm. what these plants are saying and what these nature spirits are saying.
Mm-hmm. And what our own selves are saying, because our bodies are so wise and they really are connected deeply, to our spirit and the earth and what we're experiencing. And sometimes we don't have a clear, like, mental ability to speak like, this is what I'm experiencing because of this, this, and this. But like our bodies will be responding to whatever it is we're experiencing.
Mm. So do you feel your intuition through your body a lot?
I would say I do personally, because I'm a very physical person. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily true for every single person in the world who's intuitive. But for me, being embodied and present with my physical experience of the world is a really powerful tool for getting the messages or feeling the intuitive, wisdom that I experience on any given day. But for me personally, like, physical body experience is very much and very closely tied with emotional experience. So I would say that intuitive hunches or moments that I'm feeling really super connected or getting a message, I experience both as emotional and sort of a physical vibration in my body. And, mm-hmm. you know, each person will feel in their body a specific place, but I tend to really go with heart feelings, mm-hmm. Like centered in the chest rather than like higher up in the head or, and sometimes it can be lower into like that gut wisdom, you know, where we're like mm-hmm. in our core center. But a lot of traditions actually speak about three centers of wisdom, which are the gut, the heart, and the head. And so they can all three be used for gathering, you know, information from the world or from our experiences. I tend to focus on the heart as my place of truth when I'm listening for what it is I need to hear. And like, yeah. if it really resonates in that place for me, that's when I feel clearest, so to speak.
Yeah. So you are an herbalist, but you're also a practitioner of a shamanic pathway. And you, mm-hmm. you speak about having an experience with a juniper tree that changed your life. Can you tell us that story and what impact it had on you?
Yeah, I tell this story a lot because it's such a good illustration of the connection that people can have with other living beings like plants and that it's really like a natural experience. It's not something that you have to overthink. But, you know, I started studying herbalism and working with a shamanic teacher around the same time in my life, in my early 20s, and had, you know, these two tracks that I was like officially studying. But they quickly meshed and became very closely related. And one experience I had was with this juniper tree. I woke up early one morning and had this knowing. I was like, I need to go find a tree. And I was like, well, I don't know what this is about. But I really, you know, at that time I was like, I'm just going to go with it and see what harm could it do? I just trusted that my intuition was giving me something to use. And so I drove up the mountain where I lived in Tucson, where there were some more trees, and I pulled off and started walking, just trusting and allowing that whatever guidance I was going to get to where to go would show up in the right moment. And, I found this juniper tree. It was very old and like really on its last kind of years, I think, because only the very top had little tufts of leaves and it was mostly bare and its roots were growing down into this wash and they were exposed and you could see, you know, the way the roots were growing into the soil. And I sat down with this tree and I left a gift, an offering for the tree that I had brought, and took a stone from the base of the tree kind of as an energy exchange. And I sat down and then what I describe it is like this instant, almost like download of the consciousness of the tree. Like I was completely overwhelmed emotionally and like writing frantically in my journal. It's a thing called automatic writing, and mm-hmm. was like having this really intense emotional experience in this connection with this tree. And it wasn't something that I had gone out looking for and planning. Like I knew I was supposed to find a tree and that's about the extent of it, you know. And I was like, wow, what is happening? And I just was like, went with it and really just deeply connected with that experience of I had an exchange of energy with this other living being that I didn't ask for and I didn't set up and I didn't, you know, try to cultivate. It just happened because in the moment I was really open, my heart was available, and I was able to just allow it to happen instead of fighting it or, you know, running away or whatever might have been another choice in that moment. And it really opened up my experience that these beings, these plants that are around us, have ways of communicating with us and have ways of connecting with us. And it's not necessarily through words or pictures, you know, It's through an emotional vibration. So all living things have vibrations that they are emitting, right? Mm-hmm. And we as human beings pick up on vibes. And the way I teach it and the way I've experienced it is using the heart is one of the best ways to pick up on those vibrations from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they get interpreted through our consciousness as emotional vibrations. And so we experience these emotional responses to things. And over the years, I've done this so many times, and I've taught other people to do it and watched it happen for other people. And I'm like, this is not something that I'm making up or like, you know, just happened to me that one time. Like, it happens multiple times, and not every experience is like so intense and like dramatic, but you know, I've done these circles where I share plant medicine with people, and they're not herbalists, and you know, they're not familiar with the plant, and I give them like a drop of a tincture, or we take, you know, just look at a picture of this plant, or I bring in a little sprig of the plant so people can see it and smell it, and they'll experience things from that plant that then I can like open a book, you know, an herb book or something, and point at it and say, this is what these other people are saying. And you're picking that up through your experience of this plant without it being told to them or
through direct experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, it's just so beautiful because I see it happen so many times, and it's just like, wow. So yeah, that's the juniper story. And like, I really feel connected with that tree even years later. And you know, a few weeks after I had that experience, I actually had intended to go back to that tree over and over, but there was this fire and it burned that whole canyon. And I just was blown away and sad, but I was like, that tree had given me a really big gift in her last days. She was passing something on to me. And I just was like, wow, it felt like a really big responsibility, but also a really big gift that was given to me.
What was that emotional knowledge that she passed on to you? If you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's not something that I consciously remember anymore. And I wrote it down all in this journal, and I looked for that journal, and I'm like, I don't know where this is.
It got burned.
I don't know. So it's one of those things where it was like, I don't consciously recall information or specifics, but I do remember that intense feeling of like being completely open and completely vulnerable, and like almost like an energetic like energy moving through me. I didn't feel like myself having a sad experience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It definitely felt like channeling a little bit of energy that was not something I was coming up with out of my personal experience. I don't know exactly what else to say about it, but it was very dramatic and emotionally based. But I did feel like this tree was just communicating a lot of love and care and compassion. And like this desire to like share the connection.
Yeah.
You know, and if I were to look back on it now over all these years, like she was this teacher for me that this was possible with anything, you know, it just, that happened to be the tree, the being that called to me in that moment for that purpose.
So how did that experience influence you to pursue a shamanic path? Had you already been pursuing that path, or did it like solidify your choice to pursue that path?
It's interesting. I was already pursuing the study, and I had been, you know, doing journey work and that kind of thing. And my relationship with plants and talking to plants in this way was very actually personal for a long time. And I wasn't using shamanic work to work with clients. I wasn't teaching it. I wasn't sharing it. It was really more a thing for me in cultivating my relationship with nature and with the plants. But over the years, the more I worked with the plants and the more time I spent out on the land, mostly by myself, but also, you know, doing plant walks with people, listening to the plants, they were really saying, hey, like, you can't just pass out bottles of tinctures for physical ailments anymore. Like, you have more to do than that. You need to be starting to share our, like, medicine that is more than just the physical medicine. Like, the world needs to remember the medicine that we have for your heart and your spirit.
What happened when you started sharing that?
It was so amazing because I spent a lot of years kind of like teeter-tottering about feeling weird about sharing that. And like, would people think I was a whack job? But they became more and more insistent. And I got to this point where I was like almost ready to quit doing herbalism because I was not feeling aligned anymore with what I was doing. And I had to shift. Otherwise I was going to not do it anymore. And so I said, okay, now it's time for me to step into this, what I'm supposed to be sharing about the plants. And it took me, you know, some work and some like ceremonial ritual stuff that I worked with myself and really initiating myself into a new path to do this work in the world. But as soon as I claimed it, as soon as I said, yes, my work is Shamana Flora, that's the name of my business, you know, like it exploded my work in a way that I couldn't have even imagined. I was more financially successful. I was more like receiving messages from people like, oh my gosh, I really needed this. And oh, you just validated all these things that I've been having. And before I did it in this particular way, I was never able to support myself as an herbalist, just an herbalist.
Wow.
Financially and in the world. And now it's like the work I do supports me and it's reflected back to me in community support for things I need and want. And it's just been really amazing to see how being more authentic and more truthful about what it is I do and experience and share, you know, as a teacher and as an herbalist, like the universe reflects that back to me. But
it's like people were waiting for you to come out and say it so they could be like, yes, I experienced this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very interesting to me to watch as this movement is growing among other herbalists. Like, I'm not the only one, you know what I mean? And the plants have been talking to lots of people and it's coming back really strongly right now.
It's awesome.
And it's like, one, it's really exciting because I'm like, oh, because I don't want the world to forget that, you know, that bottle of Echinacea Golden Seal that you buy at Walmart is not the same as a plant medicine that came through somebody who harvested it with care and love and made the tincture. And, you know, it's really, we need to remember that these are alive. These plants are alive. They're sacred beings and they have a lot of medicine that's not just the constituent on the label, you know, that interacts with your biochemistry in this one particular, you know, fashion. And, you know, it's the nature of our culture is to like,
use and waste and throw away.
And like a silver bullet for this thing for this symptom. And that's really not how herbalists work at all. But
it sounds like what you're talking about is that there's this possibility for people to have actual relationships with plants and with the earth that we aren't using, and that by not honoring these relationships, these possibilities of relationships, we're actually missing out on incredible healing and medicine and experiences inherent in those relationships. Is that how you approach this? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, obviously not every single person needs to be an herbalist and needs to like know all the information. But, you know, as a person who works with other people and students, like, I feel like sometimes I'm a little bit of a facilitator to, like, introduce them to the practices and to the tools and to say, hey, you can go out and connect with any plant. It doesn't even have to be a medicinal herb that you look up in a book. It could be the tree in your backyard and you can sit with it and do these things and you will receive medicine and support and messages and connection. And I think it is really important in our world, whether or not you're an herbalist who uses herbal medicine for your body ever. Like, we need to cultivate relationship with nature.
Darcy, do you think that for some of our listeners who might be interested in starting on that path, you could recommend some basic practices or tools?
Yeah. So one of the first things I teach people is about heart-based awareness and heart perception. And this is not something that I came up with. This is taught by many other teachers and herbalists. And the Heart Math Institute has done tons of research on using the heart as this place of perception. But I suggest people like close their eyes and bring their attention and their awareness back away from their head and allow it to sink into their heart chakra area. And then open up that energetic field of their heart. And they can open their eyes, you know, and connect with a tree or a plant or a stone or whatever it is that they're wanting to connect with. Could be your pet even. But really allowing yourself to experience the world from that heart vibration. And that these vibrations you experience come to you through emotional language. You'll experience feelings, or you'll have a memory about something or some person that have associations with it. And I tell people, like, the thing about this practice is, like, you're going to be communicated with in a way that you can understand. So it's going to come through your filters. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, to judge it or to write it off because it's something that you think you made up, you're discounting the ability of the plant to communicate with you in the way that you understand.
Wow.
So it's as if the plant will translate to your native language.
You're receiving impressions from the plant, and it just naturally has to be filtered through, like, every impression you receive from the world is filtered through what you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, these are all theories, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it is, we all have our own perceptual lens that mm-hmm. we experience it through. And, you know, with practice and time and, you know, repetitive connections with the same plant or the same place, you'll get more clear about what might be you, you know, and what is something that's coming to you as
a message. You'll be able to differentiate that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this is what I tell students too. Like, when you start doing this practice, connecting with a plant, you're cultivating a relationship. And just as you know, you meet a new friend or you go out on your first date, you're not going to divulge all your secrets to that person right away. I feel like it can be the same way with, you know, a new plant friend or a new, you know, place. It's like you have to spend time cultivating trust and getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, we know through science that plants pick up on our vibes, you know, and that yeah. you're not going to be the kind of person who's going to come by and clip off their branches unconsciously. You know, it wants to know that your intention. And traditional people, you know, they always talk to the plants before they harvest them and tell them what the medicine for is for and who it's going to. And, you know, there's always that, like, I'm not doing this unconsciously. You know, I'm coming to you with this intention, and may it be for healing and wholeness, rather than I'm just going to clip this and harvest it and take it away.
Mm-hmm.
Is about cultivating this relationship, and that just takes time,
yeah,
you know?
Like any relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've heard you speak of giving a token of gratitude and giving something of value in sacrifice to a plant when you are about to harvest it. Can you tell mm-hmm. us more about this practice?
Yeah, so it's something that I mean, most herbalists will give an offering before they harvest any plant. And, you know, that's a pretty standard practice. But I tend to look at it in this framework of, this is sacred reciprocity, and this is something that our culture has forgotten. And traditional cultures are almost always doing offerings and ceremonies and giving something back, and something physical, like they're making something or they're, you know, actually putting something on the earth as an offering. And I think it's really important for us in our culture as humans to, when we make an offering or we're offering our gratitude, obviously the most important thing is the intention behind it. You know, you could lay down a leaf, or you could lay down a pile of cornmeal, or, you know, a pile of coins. It doesn't necessarily matter what the object is if your intention is very pure and clear. But I feel like it's also very important for us as humans, our psyches and our consciousness places value on things in our culture right now. It happens to be money. But what is it that we value? And if we give away what we value, that reflects our gratitude in a deeper way. And mm-hmm. it also reflects to us, not that the, you know, the pile of cornmeal is necessarily really that helpful for the plant or the earth, but it's reflecting to us something that we really value and we respect it more. We respect that offering or that practice because we're giving something of value. And I heard a story from this woman early on in my herbal education where she grew lavender on her farm, and she used that lavender. She didn't use any of it for herself. It was only lavender that she would offer to plants when she was harvesting. And it was like something that she valued so much that she wanted to give to the plants rather than it being just a run-of-the-mill offering. Mm. So I think that it is something about our psyche that has to value what it is that we're giving for it to really be meaningful. Mm-hmm. And the intent behind it is obviously, you know, most important.
Yeah. It sounds like this practice is also an affirmation to ourselves of our mm-hmm. abundance. And it's also a practice of surrender. I mean, there's so many things inherent in this simple act of giving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just something I feel really strongly that we need to reconnect with in our culture, you know, of like honoring the earth and honoring what she gives back to us. Because obviously we're never going to be able to give as much as we receive as human beings. Like, she gives us everything, breath, life, body, food, medicine. Mm-hmm.
Space to live. Everything. Right.
Yeah. And there's this beautiful book, which if people haven't read it, I would highly recommend. It's called Braiding Sweetgrass. It's by Robin Wall Kimmerer, and she's a Native woman who also studied biology and ecology. And it's this beautiful blend of her Native traditions and ecology and modern science. And she, you know, she has a chapter where, like, our most important task as a human being is to be grateful and to show that gratitude to the earth. Mm. And I just, like, reading this book, I just, like, cried so many times because I was like, God, these are the exact same messages that I have been hearing mm-hmm. when I spend time in nature. And just to have it, like, validated in that way was really meaningful. But it's such a good book and so important for people, I think.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, and, like, every culture has their thing that they offer, you know. I think it's important for us to find whatever it is that is meaningful for us, you know. If tobacco is really meaningful for you as a plant ally and is, you know, something you work with, maybe that is the right offering for you to offer. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that.
So, Darcy, I've heard you say before that the earth can take in and transform energy, and that another thing we may have to give is some of the energy that we're carrying to the earth. And
like heavy energy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, our duality of good and bad may not apply here. Can you tell us a little more of that?
Yeah. So one of the practices that I have learned in my shamanic teachings and time spent in Peru is that, you know, we, as human beings, we experience this full gamut of emotional experiences, some of which feel really good and some of them which don't feel so good. And the earth is like the ultimate composter, right? Mm-hmm. Anything that we put on the ground will basically decompose and be converted into soil and, you know, grow into the next generation. And so one of the ways that we can release things that are heavy and no longer serving us, you know, whether it's an emotional state or, you know, a habit or a thought pattern or whatever, and also give to the earth, is to release that heavy energy to her, because she will transform it. She will compost and turn heavy things into the potential for new growth. And that is one of the things that the earth is really good at. The earth element is really good at mulching and composting.
Mm-hmm.
So we think of, you know, people are like, oh, well, I don't know what to do with this heavy energy. I don't like to say bad because that's a very much a modern judgment about the human experience, which is always going to be, you know, this changing between things that are feeling good and things that aren't. And that's just our experience.
It's our range of perceptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. But we don't have to hold on to them. And the earth actually likes to take this heavy energy or these old dead bodies or this, you know, the refuse of our garden and takes it and transforms it into literally into compost that we can then use
into new life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's a really good way for us to both give to the earth and help ourselves is to release heavy energy that we're no longer wanting to carry around into the earth. Mm. And that is one of the practices I teach and was given as well when I was learning is, you know, I will sometimes like blow whatever I'm working with, you know, heavy energy, tears or frustration or anger into a stone or a stick or some little, you know, object that I can then take out onto the land somewhere and leave. And I do, you know, some practice with it and some ceremony with it. But, you know, just allowing myself to like actually physically give it to the earth.
Mm. Yeah.
I've heard of folks also visualizing root systems and, you know, letting stuff out that way and then letting it dissipate just in case anyone's listening and wanting to try.
Yeah. And there's so many ways to visualize it or to, you know, give it a form that works for you.
And that's the thing we return to over and over again is that a lot of working with your intuition and working with the earth is all about finding out what works for you. So, you know, once you've got these sort of ideas or perceptual flavors in your purview, you can run with it and find something that vibes with you the right way.
Exactly. Yeah. And that you know, as long as it works for you, then there's no wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of running with it, I want to bring up something that you speak of the self that is uninhibited and untamed and free from restraint and regulation. It's passionate and emotional, and it goes beyond what conventional culture expects of us. And I love how you say that wildness is your true nature and how wildness listens to its own innate wisdom and rhythm. And wildness is authentic to the present moment. Mm-hmm. You recommend people or you suggest to people that you can let wildness be your guide. But I want to know, what is this untamed self and what is this wildness? It sounds very enticing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so that's a huge topic. You know, but we in our culture are taught to behave in certain ways and that we are expected to do certain things and which diet is the right diet to follow and which, you know, bedtime is the right bedtime to follow. And it's like most of our experience of life is prescribed to us through our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the idea of rewilding is to reconnect with that innate wisdom that we all have that has been kind of, I don't want to say bred out of us, but
maybe squashed a little.
Squashed, yeah. You know, like we've quashed it down because we've been given information by the rest of the world. And obviously that's a whole practice in and of itself is starting to turn away from what has been told you is, you know, what you're supposed to do and listening to your own truth. But I think especially women, we have this rewilding women and women's souls, you know, coming through in our culture right now. And we're reclaiming the divine feminine and the earth is a form of divine feminine energy. But really coming back to the idea that we actually do know within ourselves, our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our spirit, and our connection with nature. We know what we need and we know what feels good and what just nourishes us. And so it is really about cultivating habits and cultivating practices that allow us to really reconnect and trust, and then put into practice this wisdom that is both within us and reflected to us in nature. And for me, both as an individual and as a teacher, I feel like nature is the ultimate teacher. Like, our human egos, our human mind games, all that stuff can get in the way really easily, even, you know, unintentionally. I can teach somebody about a plant, but if they have an experience with the plant, that is going to be much more meaningful and life enhancing for them than just listening to me talk about it. So going to nature and to that natural, the non-human construction, you know, we really have to get ourselves away from, I don't know if I'm saying this the right way, but we have created this society and this culture that's purely man-based, man-made, human-made, and we need to reconnect with what is not human-made. Just to reconnect with that part of ourselves that has not been taught.
In a lot of our modern culture, there are a lot of things that have been constructed to make us feel sort of separate from ourselves, or separate from one another, or separate from the earth, or separate from our source of power. And what I hear you saying is that we can come back to anytime the immediate accessibility and presence of ourselves, our connection to one another, and our connection to the earth right here and now. There's no separation. There's no mediator that's necessary. We all have this direct access.
And going into nature helps you connect with that and make it really, like, turn up the volume of that.
And it's this beautiful thing about being human. It's like, it's just one of the greatest things about having a body is to be able to have a immediate connection to this earth that we're part of.
Absolutely. And there's so many different pathways to, you know, reclaiming our power and our intuition and our wisdom. And none of them is wrong or less useful than any other. But I do really feel strongly that nature is this beautiful reflection of our original beingness as human beings. We came into this world, into this natural, pristine, wild world, you know, and there is a part of us that is still there and that still wants to be there and still needs that to be fully human. And so reconnecting with that part of ourselves, with the wildness, with the natural part of us, is really what I feel like what I'm here to share, you know, is that we can do this and it's available to us all. And it is really healthy and helpful and powerful and empowering to be able to do that.
So how can we do that in the modern world? Or what's, you know, what's the sort of crowbar on the domestication that listeners can wedge in there, start to pry it loose?
I mean, I think the fastest, like most immediate, is to go spend time in nature. And obviously, if you live in the middle of New York City, that's a little different than if you live out in the forest in Flagstaff. For me, like, I just got to a point in my life where I was like, I need to be in that more than not. But really, like, going to a nature-rich area as often as you can and cultivating that presence. You know, there's a lot of different practices out there. I think finding one particular place or one particular tree or a bush or a plant, you know, that you can go back to over and over again and just sit with and maybe make offerings to it and, you know, speak to it in your heart or out loud about what it is you're going through and what it is you're trying to work through, and just allowing yourself to be with it. Without any expectation, without any agenda, but just repetition of going back to that same place on the land or that same tree and cultivating that relationship. And it takes time, you know, but I've had some really amazing medicine in my life just by going to the same tree over and over again and never harvested from it or never went to it for collecting medicine, you know, to make tinctures or anything. But just that was my medicine tree to go sit with and receive these kinds of healings and these kinds of messages. And but it does require presence. And I would recommend not going with a journal or, you know, anything to distract you from being super present with it. You know, doing journaling work and that kind of thing can also be a tool and useful. But I think as you're cultivating the practice of presence and just being with nature and what it's reflecting to us, it's easy to get into our heads. And the best way to stay out of our head is to not engage it,
you know,
with writing or that kind of thing. But not to say that that's not a tool as well, but just when you're beginning this practice of like really just be totally emotionally, mentally, and physically present with the experience of it. And I would say also like allowing yourself to really embody your physical senses, you know, like touch the tree or the rocks and like smell it. And if it's something that is not, you know, toxic, obviously you don't want to put poison things in your mouth, but you know, if you're with a pine tree, you can taste the pine needles, like really imbuing all of your physical senses with the nature that you're experiencing in that moment as well is really powerful.
And that wildness in you is going to tell you things you didn't know were possible.
Right. It reawakens things in you. Absolutely.
So you also speak about the fluid nature of time and how as you've learned to move more slowly, you've also created more space, often by letting go of attachments and tasks and plans and projects. What inspired you to start moving more slowly and letting go?
I would say a lot of times for me, it's actually like crisis. Like I get to this point where I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. So not that that's always the best way to shift, but that has been a little bit of my path of like a little bit of a hard head and really having to get the lesson, not the easiest way, but, you know, part of my journey is like I've never fit in exactly the way that I would have expected or would have liked to when I was younger. I never like ran with the cool crowd. I don't know. And
who needs the cool crowd?
You know, yeah. But it's like I never quite felt like I was connected to people. But every time I've gone to nature, I felt that connection, whether I was 8 years old, starting the fire when my family went camping, or, you know, wandering around in the woods alone because nobody would go hiking with me. And I was like, well, if I'm going to hike, I guess I'm going to learn how to do it by myself. I always felt more connection in nature more readily. So I have some sense that it's just a little bit of a natural tendency for me to be able to go there and feel that connection and allow it to bring me back to center. But it's also like, you know, we all need practices to bring us back to center, whether it's meditation or yoga or, you know, whatever it is that works for each person. Like I found that path of being with nature to be really powerful and instantaneous for me. When I'm in a state, I can walk out my door and go sit with a tree and immediately be brought back to where I need to be.
And so to some degree, does that grounds you, it centers you in yourself, and does it kind of reaffirm your maybe faith in being able to let go of whatever it is that you're feeling is transitioning in your life? You know, it's it's fall in the season of that thing and it's got to die soon. So you get connected to nature and you get reinforced. And
And I mean, depending on the issue or what's up or what's going on, like I might do a more concentrated ceremony or ritual around it. I've done a lot of prayer. I've done one of the practices I use is to make like a mandala on the earth. Mm. And not just to be beautiful, you know, and like arranging things exactly the way that look nice, but actually imbuing each object with some aspect of what I'm working on and putting it on the earth and then leaving it and letting the earth transform it. Again, we were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
The earth actually taking all that energy that I've intentionally and ceremonially like placed there and asked and prayed for assistance with. And then like, it's just been so powerful because within a few days, sometimes things will totally dramatically shift.
Hmm.
In my perception or in actual like physical reality, things change that I'm just like, wow, I didn't do that, did I?
Amazing.
It's been to me like just super powerful to be able to like go and do something physical on the earth, you know, with intention and with a clear, you know, intention that I'm like, I need help with this thing. And then letting it go. And you just leave it.
Complete surrender.
Yeah. And you just totally let the earth take it. And you have to practice that non-attachment. You can't really go into it saying, I'm going to put this leaf here for that person that I want to come into my life. Like, it's not quite as cut and dry, but you put your energies into it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
and I love the idea, too, that at the end you leave this beautiful thing mm-hmm. and its components, another sort of release, surrender gift to the earth.
Mm-hmm. And so much of emotional release is allowing yourself to feel it, experiencing it, and letting it flow out, and then it's released.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding ways to actually release emotional states through, for me, a physical object that then I can like transform through the ritual and through the earth.
Mm.
It was interesting. I was actually talking to my mom this morning about tools and emotional processing tools, and that our culture really doesn't teach us emotional tools.
Yeah, we're sort of emotionally hoarders.
Yeah,
you know.
And I have friends who've gone through stuff, and they ended up in like a psychological hospital for a week. And it's like, well, what's going on that we don't have these tools for people mm-hmm. to rely on? Like, it's like, here, take a pill, or go see this therapist, or go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lock yourself away. Well, these are not very useful tools.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know, like, why is it that our culture hasn't given us tools? And one allows us to have these experiences as humans, that emotional experiences happen. We have to process them through our, you know, body and our feeling. And there are ways that we can release them,
mm-hmm.
yeah. you know, and it's also like, again, with the being present, like, it is really hard to experience something painful, and it's hard to stay present with that and to like really see through it to what is the core underneath that. And that is a practice that we as humans have to really practice at,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, because our natural inclinations when something hurts is to turn away
run away from it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I realize, you know, I'm kind of an emotional person, but like the more that I stay with it and be present and not, you know, get sucked into a story about it or not, you know, the actual like situation around it, but like what is the true feeling and what is the piece that I need to see in it?
Mm.
And I can extract that little piece of wisdom or that little gem, you know, and then release the emotional energy through practices.
And, you know, I think an important part of that is that you're able to recognize your emotions are different from you. So
right.
it doesn't mean that you have to let yourself, you know, some part of you die when you're releasing an mm-hmm. emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's useful for people to understand that the more we can identify our experiences as discrete from our identities, mm-hmm. the more power we have to change and go mm-hmm. boldly into changes.
Yeah, exactly. And so much of what we identify with is just a story that we've either been told by somebody in our lives or that we've created and told ourselves over and over again.
Mm.
And so I've done so much work on myself about the labels that I've given myself and the stories that I've told myself about who I am in the world, and actually being able to see those as separate from my identity as just a being. And letting those fall away in the time that it's appropriate frees up my energy to actually become more and grow more and, you know, feel more alive and more, you know,
present.
And have a better experience here of being alive on the earth. And, you know, I mean, this is one of the things as a shamanic practitioner, like, our identity is oftentimes tied up with our ego and, you know, what we're getting or what we're not getting and the story that we've created around it. And, like, part of our work here as human beings is to be able to separate and let go of that ego piece for time periods. You know, I mean, there's a reason we have an ego and there's a reason that it's useful, but it gets in our way sometimes.
It's kind of limited.
Yeah. And so like when we can separate from it enough to have a really pure experience of beingness, you know, and surrendering the story or surrendering the attachment or the need to control something. And, you know, many, many different traditions teach different ways of doing that. But it is like our identity is not the ego. Our identity is not what we've done or what we've created or what this or that. Like, it is so much more than that. And I think connecting with nature as a whole, like the earth, this big creation of the earth, helps me to like get out of my little human mind ego trip. You know, I'm like, oh, there's so much here that is so amazing and such a miracle. And like, I'm a tiny little piece of it, which is a beautiful reflection and, you know, is great, but I can let go of that and expand into this wholeness of creation, which is really powerful and beautiful too.
So you actually share many beautiful pictures of your time in nature and of your mandalas and of your herbal medicine on Instagram. And you have two accounts. What are those two accounts so our listeners can go check out this beauty with their eyes?
Yeah. So the one that I use primarily is Shamana Flora. And that is the one that really focuses a little bit more on like herbal medicine and making things and connecting with plants specifically. And it's associated with like my website, my business page, shamanaflora.com. And then the second account is, it's an outgrowth of this vision that came to me about a year ago and expanding my work to be beyond just plant medicine and connecting more with nature as a whole. And it's called Sacred Wildness. And that account is over time going to be more focusing on these practices and the rituals and like, how do we, like, each of our souls is connected with nature and like the many reflections of that. And eventually, you know, when I offer retreats or classes and that kind of thing, focusing on more than just plant medicine, that's where that will be.
So Darcy, where can folks go to find out about retreats or classes you may be offering?
And also your herbal products.
So my website is shamanaflora.com. And on the website, I have a blog, which usually I announce events or classes. But the best way to really stay connected is by subscribing to the newsletter, because then you'll get announcements in your email. And there is a link to my store, which I sell, you know, tinctures and salves and teas, and some of my e-courses are on that store where you can download it and do it at your own pace. So that's linked from shamanaflora.com. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in the newsletter, the store, and that website. There's a blog with updated information on it.
And the blog has a beautiful writing too. Really, if you're looking for inspiration, definitely check out Darcy's blog, Shamana Flora.
Help you get back into your heart center.
Yeah.
Try to keep up with it.
Well, you got to get out there in the wild too. We don't mind. We know you're hanging out with juniper trees.
And it's been just an interesting process as a human being, as an entrepreneur, as somebody who's trying to do spiritual aligned work in the world. Like, sometimes I actually just have to take a huge step back from it all and just focus on my relationship with myself and with nature. And like, not being attached to not doing it the right way or not doing enough or, you
right.
know, because it really is like I want to be able to pay my rent and, you know, all those things and do my work in the world that feeds me and feels like my calling. But we are all here to do our own work too. And sometimes that means really just being with ourselves and, you know, being there too. And I try to reflect that in some way that's positive and useful for others. But sometimes I just need to keep it to myself too.
Well, that's so nice, because by doing that and by sharing it, you give others permission to do the same thing, and we need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Beautiful.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your stories and your wisdom. And it was great having you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be able to share it with you. And just really, this is good stuff for people to connect with. So, yay.
Thank you so much, Darcy. Can't wait to go make mandalas.
I know. Thank you. All right. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Bye.
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 Thank you so much for listening. You can show your gratitude and help others find these conversations by subscribing and leaving a review on iTunes or whatever app you're listening through.
Leaving a review will help us grow this network of earth lovers and intuitive-minded folks. You can also help us share these conversations by liking our Dream Freedom Beauty page and sharing your favorite episode on Facebook. For exclusive content and rewards, support us on Patreon.
Thank you so much, and until next time, many blessings.